What's going on, everyone? Welcome to One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 4th of January, 2021, and we are here to recap another great week in sports. Some topics we're going to get into today include going over the Eagles game last night versus the Washington football team. Also, kind of giving my surface level takeaways from the Eagles season. Not going to do a full breakdown, which we will get into during the off season. However, we will be discussing some of the things that we saw last night that pertain to the season as a whole. Also, we're going to get into some NBA talk, some specific headlines, which we found interesting this last week, as well as some early season surprises that we are going to talk about. Also, we are going to dive in for topic number 3 into the NFL playoffs. The field is set, so we are going to give our preview, break down some of the lines, and make some picks. And we might even get a return of Kona's Underdog of the Week. So stay tuned. And without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, topic number 1 today. And we are going to get into the Philadelphia Eagles game last night versus the Washington football team. A game they ended up losing 20-14. The football team ended up 6.5-point favorites. The line closed at, I think the Eagles opened at 4-point favorites before a lot of the starters for the Birds ended up sitting. So the line moved substantially, and the football team did not cover, so chalked that up for the Birds against the spread record. That flew under. Over-under was 43.5. Only 34 points scored during the game, and it was really just an ugly, ugly game. Washington stormed out to a quick 10-0 lead, and the Eagles, on their next two drives, scored 2 touchdowns via Jalen Hurts' legs and went up 14-10, and it really looked like we were finding our groove and then really couldn't get much going after that. The football team ended up scoring a touchdown after we took the lead and took a 17-14 lead into the half, and only 3 points were scored in the second half. You know, the game was going pretty well up until halftime. You know, there was points being scored, 30 total points being scored, a little bit over 30 points, 31 points being scored. And, you know, it was going well, but the second half was where everything really fell apart for both teams. I can't even think the football team feels confident after that game last night. You know, going up against a team that was openly and blatantly tanking and still only won by 6 points. And the Eagles honestly were in it until the last drive of the game, which was disgusting for the football team. But, however, as we look back at kind of the game itself, some of the main takeaways I kind of had from it. First, we're going to start with Jalen Hurts. Looked really good on the ground. 8 carries, 34 yards, 2 touchdowns. Was constantly evading the rush, which is outstanding, you know, from the football team, one of the best defenses in the league, and was doing a good job kind of getting away. Did get sacked 3 times, however. You know, Chase Young just absolutely disrupted the game so much, and, you know, made a lot of impact plays. And, you know, as we kind of flipped to the other side of the coin of Jalen Hurts, though, you know, really didn't look good through the air. Made some good throws, but overall was 7-for-20, 72 yards, and also threw a pick. You know, his performance, you know, I think he basically showed us who he was in this game. You know, after the Saints game, I think a lot of people were ready to anoint him our future starting quarterback and, you know, put him in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, it was interesting to see over the last couple games, just get a little bit more of a sample size of Jalen Hurts' game, and also, you know, what he looks like in different circumstances. You know, with now 2 home games, 2 road games for Jalen Hurts, and it was interesting to see kind of his development. I do think his arm looked better than I thought. I think we talked about that a little bit in the Arizona game, and, you know, 3 home games, 1 road game at Arizona. However, you know, Jalen, you know, looked good at times yesterday. You know, heard Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast kind of talk about the excitement he brings to the game and also, you know, his improvement with his arm and everything. But I think, you know, everyone that's kind of been watching the last couple of games knows that he's going to be a good backup for us. I think he's a really good backup for the league. You know, I think he's in like a Lamar kind of build or like Kyler kind of build, but isn't quite as special as a thrower as Kyler and isn't as quite special as a runner as Lamar Jackson. So I do think he is a very good quarterback. Obviously, he wouldn't be in the NFL if he was not. And I think that he will be serviceable in the NFL as well as a really, really good backup. You know, good backup quarterbacks in the NFL, if they have to start for a season, you know, if your quarterback goes down week one, you know, that's what they're expected to do and come in and not have as big a drop-off and still do well. But when you ask them to be your franchise guy at season after season, rely on them, that's when you start to see, you know, that's when you start to see the differences between the cream of the crop and, you know, the quarterbacks that aren't on that level. So, you know, it was just interesting to see Jalen last night. Overall, my takeaways from their four games for Jalen, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And yeah, I think they learned a lot. I couldn't really believe that they pulled him at the start of the fourth quarter. That was a big big hot button topic last night. A lot of people did not agree with it, and I am one of those people. You know, Doug Peterson did fall back on his comments before the game that he was trying to get Nate Sudfeld some time. Even before the game started, he said he wanted to see him get reps, but you know, it was an interesting time and place to put Sudfeld in. I didn't really think he, you know, after one or two drives, you could see that, you know, the difference, the drop-off from Jalen Hurts to Nate Sudfeld. You know, I was just talking about how, you know, your backup quarterback can play well, step in for your starter, everything like that, which Jalen Hurts, you know, four games has proven he can do. And, you know, we've kept Nate Sudfeld on the roster for so long thinking he can be a serviceable backup, and you could just see the drop-off after he, you know, entered the game yesterday. And we really had no chance when he entered the game of moving the ball through a Hail Mary throw that ended up in the defense's arms. Really had no chance. So, you know, he doesn't really need to be rostered anymore. I think that, you know, if we wasted that quarter just on Nate Sudfeld, you know, just checking him out and getting a good view of him, you know, I think we found out he is not the answer, and he does not need to be on the roster next year. So I do think you know what your quarterback room is going to look like a lot next year with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. So, you know, in that respect, it was good to kind of see that you know, manifested itself. But overall, it was blatantly ugly. We're going to get to that in a little bit for my takeaways as a whole. But I did want to focus on the game for right now for a few more minutes and just kind of talk about the defense. Philadelphia Eagles defense last night was playing extremely hard. Two interceptions, three sacks. Have been taking the ball away a lot more as the season has gone on, which has been encouraging. Unfortunately, the news came out this weekend, or fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your view of it. Jim Schwartz will be stepping down after this year. So it's going to be a big overhaul of the coaching staff, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. However, during the game last night, they were playing extremely hard, which was hard to see after, you know, we had a lot of star defensive players out. However, Brandon Graham was still out there, you know, giving his all. Alex Singleton was a really good revelation this year. I think he played really well last night. TJ Edwards had one of the interceptions, and Marcus Epps probably had one of the interceptions of the year when he went up to deliver a Sheldon Brown type hit, but like pulled up right at the end, and you know, the running back, I think it was McKissick, caught the ball, and Epps like chest bumped him, ran into him, and just pretty much took the ball from him. It was a crazy play, one of the craziest interceptions I've seen this year. But you know, they were flying around the field. We were getting to Alex Smith, like I said, three sacks. One thing which I think did help us in that department is obviously Alex Smith's injury history. You know, obviously he has been a quarterback that subtly has been able to use the movement around the pocket and his legs to succeed at the NFL level. So you know, without him having that, I think has really hindered his game a little bit this year since he's came back. Obviously, you know, he's coming back from, you know, a life-threatening leg injury or a limb-threatening leg injury, so I'm going to cut him some slack. However, it was something that the Eagles were able to exploit last night with their pressure and their schemes. And, you know, it just showed, you know, a lot of people say the Eagles had nothing to play for last night, but obviously the defense didn't hear that. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the offensive players didn't hear that. The Eagles were playing really hard last night, and they wanted to win this game. So we'll, you know, overall from the game, I think it was a good first half. You know, I think the Birds really wanted to have a good hard performance, but end up with the L, obviously, from what they showed in the fourth quarter. You know, they got a little bit better draft pick, and, you know, we found some things out about the team last night, and more importantly, I think we found out a lot about the front office and the coaching staff. But that leads us into our takeaways as a whole from the game last night, and overall, just the season in general. So we're just going to start from the top. You know, just, you know, 4-11-1, and we've kind of saw what the quarterback played this year, but the main takeaway I have is really just the roster construction is the real issue with this team. You know, not the coaching or the quarterback performance. The roster construction is unbelievably bad. It's been, you know, it's the second most expensive roster in the league. It's one of the oldest rosters in the league. And, you know, the Birds in 2017, you know, we weren't building for a Super Bowl championship. However, everything clicked at the right time, and we did end up winning. And, you know, I think Howie decided, you know, our window opened, flew open at that point, and wanted to go in with a lot more short-term gains and a lot more nearsighted focus. So, you know, probably made some long-term questionable moves. However, it was, you know, you know, I was just off the euphoria of the Super Bowl. Everyone really didn't care. They were like, okay, now we're really going for it for another year back-to-back. So, you know, it was liked by a lot of the media and by the Eagles, obviously, because we were given the green light to make those moves. However, now we're starting to get the, you know, we're starting to get the check from the last couple years, and it's really ugly. I think there's going to be a lot of heads to roll after this, by choice or not. You know, I do think Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson will be back. I do think Doug has earned the right to stay. You know, Super Bowl championship already. You know, two division crowns, three playoff berths. I mean, this is the first year since 2016 we didn't make the playoffs, so I don't think you just get rid of your coach like that. Granted, I don't think he's made a lot of right choices this year, but when you have a 4-11-1 season, there's a lot more than just one person to blame. And I just kind of wanted to touch on some of that. Also moving into some of our, you know, quarterback talk. We've been talking about it a lot this year, in terms of just, you know, Carson Wentz, obviously, and Jalen Hurts. But I think the bottom line from what we've learned this year is that Carson Wentz needs to be our starter next year. And if he's not, it's going to tell you a lot about where the franchise is and where we're headed. Because I think that, you know, based on last night, we were saying, you know, Zach Ertz stayed on the bench way after the game was over, just sitting on the bench, just looking at the field. You know, Jason Kelce ended up out there after the game with Carson Wentz as well, and just those three were sitting on the bench way after the game, nobody else on the field. And, you know, it's just, you wonder if you're going to see those three in Eagles uniforms next year. And, you know, three of the, obviously Carson has been here a lot shorter than those other two, but two of the great Eagles of all time. And it really just shows, you know, where their heads are at, and also where their hearts are at with the organization. But I just wanted to drop a few quarterback stats. I saw these last night. I think this is not to tear down Jalen Hurts here, but I do think this has more of a indication on how the offense has been running as a whole this year. You know, based off the roster construction and the coaching and the players. I'm not going to give the players a pass here, but just the combination of all three, you get some of these. So per Pro Football Focus, Jalen Hurts leads all quarterbacks in uncatchable inaccurate throw percentage with 28.8%. Carson Wentz is second on that list at 25.5%. And we were talking about this a little bit on the Carson Wentz defense podcast. One stat I did bring up was uncatchable off-targets, off-target passes by Carson Wentz, who led the league in that. And at first I was like, you know, that's not a good stat. I really don't like that. But now after seeing Jalen Hurts's kind of, you know, play here, obviously you gave Carson Wentz $100 million and Jalen Hurts is a rookie, so it's not apples to apples. However, it does show how, you know, poor the offense has been running. Another stat here, also courtesy of Pro Football Focus, turnover-worthy plays per start. Jalen Hurts, 3.7. Carson Wentz, 2.2. Two of the highest rates in the league. So, you know, it's just... And then one more last night. Obviously, kind of tough to pick this, but Jalen Hurts' quarterback rating last night, 25.4, the lowest of any Philadelphia Eagle quarterback this season. And, you know, I just think that kind of shows the Redskins were kind of figuring him out a little bit. And they also are a great defense. I don't want to take anything away from Washington. But I just think that a couple of those stats combined with some of the other issues we were talking about, you know, just shows how the quarterback is not at fault here. You know, I've been defending Carson Wentz all year, and I've also been defending Jalen Hurts while also keeping an open mind on his individual play, but also not blaming him for, you know, some of his mistakes this year that have been mainly because of the offense. The receivers have been struggling to get open. Our offensive line has started 14 different combinations in 16 games, which is the most in the NFL. And, you know, you're just not going to be a successful team, and you're not going to have a successful year with that kind of with that kind of baggage with your roster. So I just think it was pretty tough. Overall, with kind of the big picture of the win or the loss last night, if we did lose, which we ended up, you know, losing, we would have secured the number 6 pick in the NFL draft in April. However, if we did capture the win last night, it would have been the 9th pick. So what that kind of tells me is, you know, we're really, I think, hunting for one of the top wide receivers here, either Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. I would prefer, I've been saying Ja'Marr Chase or bust, but now after seeing Devontae Smith dominate all year and in the playoff game against Notre Dame, as well as doing some research on the scouting reports from before the year and also during the year on Devontae Smith, I wouldn't be mad with either one of them, but I do think the Eagles thought that they would not be able to get either one at the 9 pick, or they have their eye on someone else in the top 6, but I am happy that they did decide, well, not happy in terms of getting the loss and the way they did it. Overall, tank job was crazy, but you know, I do think that it was good to secure a high pick for the team, and you know, it just really go in the future. Overall, I do think the Eagles are just going to tear it down this offseason. I'm kind of, you know, nervous to see what goes on. I'm nervous that Carson Wentz isn't going to be in the uniform next year. I'm nervous that Jason Kelce is going to retire. I'm nervous that Zach Ertz is going to be traded. I'm nervous that there's going to be a lot of turnover on the roster, which is much needed, but it's just so tough because of the fall from grace the Eagles have had, you know, since they won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. That feels like a lifetime ago. And now we're right back into the dumpster of the worst team in the worst division in the history of the NFL. It's just, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I do think a lot of the roster turnover is needed for us to dig ourselves out of here. Just a little, as we kind of move on through here, just a little talk about the New York Football Giants. Great season. Just wanted to give them a little bit of props for the season they had after a terrible start. I believe they started 0-5 with some good losses, though. You know, they almost beat Tampa Bay at home, which would have been an outstanding win. However, you know, they had a good year, but at the end of the day, you know, they were pissed with what the Eagles were doing in taking out Jalen Hurts and, you know, putting Nate Sudfeld in. But, you know, at the end of the day, Evan Ingram makes a catch against the Eagles on Thursday Night Football, and the Giants aren't even in this position in the first place. So, you know, I get it, the anger the New York Giants have with the Philadelphia Eagles, but at the end of the day, the Giants were 6-10, and I get it, you know, the whole division was trash in general, but Washington has played the best throughout the year, I think, of any team, and I think they did deserve to win the division crowns. And, you know, I'm happy for Ron Rivera as well as Alex Smith making the playoffs after what both of those men have gone through this year. But at the end of the day, you know, the Giants were 6-10. They were playing good football, I'll give them that. They got the win, but, you know, I don't really feel bad for any team in the NFC East this year because we all just looked like absolute garbage. And at the end of the day, I'm just happy the Dallas Cowboys did not win the division. And I think all three teams in the division would agree with that. But like I said, you know, it's kind of good. It goes back to a lot of mistakes throughout the year for all these teams. And not to take anything away from the Giants, I do think them and the football team were the two best teams in the division. I don't care what the Cowboys did over the last couple weeks. And, you know, we'll see what happens next year. I think it's going to be a lot better top to bottom. I think a lot of teams are, you know, I think the Cowboys and Eagles were probably the two favorites coming into the year. And I think both of them will bounce back in a way a little bit next year. I'm not as optimistic about the Eagles. However, you know, the football team and the G-men found some things out about themselves this year. And we will see what happens next year. However, the optimism is extremely low. Okay, on to topic number two today. We are going to get into the NBA and talk a little early season review, a little recap. First, we're just going to start off with a headline that I kind of saw this week that really didn't make sense. A lot of Steph Curry slander to start the year. You know, a lot of people are still getting their shots in at the two-time MVP, three-time NBA champion. You know, it doesn't really make sense. It's sense to me that, you know, guys, role players like Channing Frye come out and say, you know, he needs to win this year to secure a legacy, when my man could retire tomorrow and would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I just think it's really funny that, you know, after the dominance they had over a 5-year stretch, I'd say 6-year stretch, you know, with the Warriors making the playoffs in 2014 as well. You know, it doesn't really make sense, and it kind of takes away from the credibility of a lot of people when they decide to, you know, go after players like this. I think a lot of people would agree that, you know, Steph Curry is an elite player in this league and also one of the, you know, all-time players. And, you know, it was good to see him come out Sunday night, January 3rd, 62 points, career high. It was a great showing just to kind of shut everyone up. You know, just really, really, you know, he really didn't need to prove anything to anyone. However, it was just good to see that. And I'm excited to see what he has to do the rest of the year, because I think everyone would agree that, you know, there's not another player in the league that once they get going is more fun to watch. You know, LeBron obviously up there, KD, but just the degree of difficulty with the shots and the way which he scores, being 6'3", 180 pounds, was probably the most fun in the league, maybe outside Klay Thompson too once he gets hot. But, you know, 62 points on last night, Sunday night, it was just great to kind of shut everyone up. But, you know, you got to understand, this guy's played 20, 30 games in the last 2 years. And, you know, that takes some getting some time on the court to knock the rust off. I think the return of Draymond Green was huge for the Warriors. Obviously, I think he scored 1 point, I think, in 2 games. And he's easily been the Warriors' second best player over the last 2 games. The defensive impact cannot be understated with Draymond, and everything he does, from communication to rotations to rim protection to perimeter defense. The list goes on and on, and that just helps James Wiseman, the Warriors' first-round pick, number 2 overall, out so much. And, you know, one underrated thing, I think, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson that have both benefited from is Draymond's rotations and blocks and steals and defensive rebounding, and then also his ability to push the ball. The Warriors, assist leader over the last 5 seasons, each season, has been Draymond Green. And that just shows you what a weapon he is. You know, being able to get rebounds and push the ball. And that allows Steph Curry to run off the ball, running off screens. Klay Thompson off the ball, running off screens. And it just gets them a lot better looks, as well as, you know, just the overall defense of the team improving. It gets those, you know, quick Warriors runs, which they've become so known for, you know, back. And it's just great to see. But just circling back to Steph Curry as I finish up kind of my thoughts on this headline, you know, it's just interesting when people say, you know, he shouldn't really need others to carry a team. And, you know, people said, you know, LeBron never got this, you know, we never felt bad for LeBron when he, you know, didn't have anyone on the Cavs or, you know, his first year with the Lakers and stuff. And it's just, you know, I feel like it's unfair just because I think LeBron has universally been regarded as the best player in the game since about his second or third year in the league for the last 15 years. While Steph Curry is also, you know, a small guard, which is obviously hard to impact the game with your athleticism, so it needs to be all skill-based. Nothing to take away from LeBron. I think he's a top two player of all time. So obviously, like, he's going to be able to carry a team much easier than, you know, someone else who's not a top two player of all time. I think we can all agree. Even, you know, Michael Jordan struggled with that. It just kind of shows how, you know, how good LeBron is and also how much he does for a team on the court. You know, he has the smarts of, obviously, he's probably a little bit more, but the basketball IQ of Draymond Green, obviously with the skills of anyone we ever see in the league, and the scoring ability of, you know, no one we ever seen in the league, with a lot of, with respect to the greats, Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Just kind of, you know, wrapping up my thoughts here, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but just really don't understand the slander, and just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit. I had this planned before he dropped 62 last night, so kind of made the segment today a little bit easier, and probably took a little bit of the words out of my mouth. But yeah, overall, I just don't understand it. So it was good to see it, and I'm happy to see what he's got going on for the rest of the year. All right, some other storylines I wanted to talk about in the NBA. We're just going to go over the standings real quick and just kind of see how it's all laid out right now. In the East, you have the Sixers at the 1 seed at 5-1. You have the Pacers at the 2 seed at 4-2. The Magic at the 3 seed at 4-2, the Cavaliers at the four seed at 4-2, the Hawks at the 5 seed at 4-2, the Celtics at the 6 seed at 4-3, and then the New York Knicks, surprisingly, at the 7 at 3-3, and the Milwaukee Bucks at the 8 seed at 3-3. Just some initial thoughts I kind of have going on from there. I did, you know, we were high on the Sixers this year. We didn't include them in our championship contenders bubble. So, you know, it's kind of good to see them coming out hot and playing really well this season. Also, we did like the Pacers. So, you know, to see them at 4-2 was good to see. Magic and Cavaliers, two teams that have gotten off hot. I do not anticipate them staying up here. We were high on the Hawks as well. We did see them as a team that would jump into the playoff picture this year. So to see them up at 5 already is nice. And then to round it out, Celtics, Knicks, and Bucks. We'll see if the Knicks hang around, but a couple teams outside the playoffs who I think, you know, have been some surprises. The Nets at 3-4, only at 9th in the conference, so only a half game out of the 8th seed. You know, one factor I do think is contributing to their slow start is their defense. They're 20th in the league in scoring defense, giving up 113.4 points per game. So, you know, I just think their defense needs to clean up a little bit. They can score with anybody at will. So if they become a good defensive team, it's going to be the difference for them being an Eastern Conference, you know, contender and a championship contender. Also, the Miami Heat at 2-3 at 11th in the conference. You know, I've been struggling. Jimmy's missed some games. I do think a reason there. They're also 28th in the league in scoring. With 103.4 points per game, you know, you're just not going to win very many games, you know, scoring that many points. Also, the Raptors, I think, are the biggest surprise out of any team in the NBA this year at 1-4, 14th in the Eastern Conference. A couple things here, you know, they're 27th in the league in scoring, scoring 104.4 points per game, and they're dead last in offensive efficiency, 98.3 points per 100 possessions. It's just their offense hasn't been good. You know, there's hasn't Pascal Siakam got sat down for a disciplinary issue in one game. You know, I think they really miss Marcus Gasol and Serge Ibaka in their frontline defense. You know, two players who could score as well as really defend. So it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back. However, early on in the season, I do think it's been interesting to see kind of their slow start. And, you know, I think we can all agree Nick Nurse is a terrific coach. And with a veteran like Kyle Lowry that will turn it around, it will just be, you know, how high they can climb back into the Eastern Conference standings with a lot of teams getting hot. However, you know, some teams haven't been, you know, getting off to quite the hot start with the Bucks 3-3, the Nets 3-4, you know, the Heat 2-3, you know, Celtics 4-3. You know, it hasn't been really anything crazy. Obviously, the Sixers have paced the Eastern Conference so far with a 5-1 record. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Raptors overall, though I do think they are my biggest surprise in the East. And as we move to the West here and go through the standings, we have the Clippers at 5-2. Leading the conference. We also have two other 5-2 teams with the Suns and the Lakers holding down the 2 and the 3 seed respectively. And then we have the 4 seed Utah Jazz sitting at 4-2. The New Orleans Pelicans sitting at 4-2 in the 5 seed. The Houston Rockets actually at 2-2 here at the 6 seed. And then the Trailblazers and the Warriors round out the top 8 at 7-8 respectively, both holding a 3-3 record. So far we're 7-8 right now in our playoff predictions. The only thing we have been missing right now is the Houston Rockets, we are 6-8. However, the Houston Rockets have played, one less game than the rest of the conference. So it will be interesting to see how they keep it up. However, you know, the Warriors are sneaking into the 8th spot right now. If they figure it out, they will probably remain there. The Pelicans, I thought they would be fighting for the 8th seed, but really wasn't giving them much thought to actually break into the playoffs. So it's been interesting to see them jump in there. I'm really excited with, obviously, Zion Williamson and his, you know, growth. Obviously, Brandon Ingram has been playing at an MVP level this year, and I do think the addition of Steven Adams has been something that has been tremendous for them. But, you know, I think we can kind of all see what's going on here, you know, with a lot of the stuff. You know, Clippers, Lakers, obviously, tied at the top with 5-2 records. We were high on the Suns this year, as a lot were. So we're going to take some good credit for that. And then, you know, everything else was just kind of shaking up how we thought. However, some teams are not living up to the hype. So a couple surprises out West. The Nuggets, currently 2-4, 11th in the conference. You know, one thing I think, which, you know, might be contributing to their downfall a little bit. Obviously, they have an outstanding offensive team. However, they're 23rd in the league in scoring defense, giving up 116 points per game. I think they need to figure that out ASAP. You know, the discussion between Jokic and Embiid, I think, has always been the defensive end, because offensively, I think Jokic is probably a little better playmaker, Embiid's probably a better scorer. But the differentiator has always been defense, I think, in the argument in that discussion. So if him, along with Jamal Murray, we know what Gary Harris does on the defensive end, and Michael Porter Jr., if those three can take a step in the defensive end, they're going to need it, because they got some ground to make up for the playoffs. And, you know, 23rd in the league in scoring defense isn't going to get it done. Also, another team that I think we have some reasoning before, which we're going to get into, but the Dallas Mavericks at 2-4, 13th in the conference. Obviously, the same record as the Nuggets, who are 11th, so not too far out of the playoffs, only one game back at the 8th seed. It's still early, mind you, however, they are surprising that they are out right now. I think we have a couple things that we can point to here. Obviously, missing Kristaps Porzingis is a huge blow for the organization and the team. He will be back soon. I think early February was the timeline I was seeing. So to see him come back will be huge for the team. Also, as I was kind of looking through some of the metrics to find out why the Mavericks were having such a slow start, their defensive efficiency is actually top 10 in the league. Also, their scoring efficiency is a top half team in the league. So while they are at a slow start right now, they also did miss Luka Doncic for a game. So I think missing your two stars, as well as having underlying metrics that support, you know, your good play, I do think they're going to turn it around soon, and I would not be worried about the Dallas Mavericks getting back into playoff positioning. Okay, and now we are going to swing it to topic number 3 today, and we are going to get into what was decided this weekend and the NFL playoffs. A lot of interesting matchups this week, starting off in the NFC. So it was really interesting to see what happened towards the bottom of the division. Obviously, as all you may know now, they added an extra team into each conference's playoff bracket. So only one team secured a playoff bye in each conference, that team being the Green Bay Packers in the NFC and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. And that leaves six teams to face off in the wild card round. So starting in the NFC, we have the number 5 seed Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Washington, D.C. to face the football team. We have the Los Angeles Rams going to Seattle to face the Seahawks. And we have the Chicago Bears going to New Orleans, Louisiana to face the Saints. The lines on these games are pretty interesting. We're going to talk about it a little later. I do like a lot of these lines. Tampa Bay are 8.5-point favorites right now going to Washington. So you're talking on a neutral site, 11.5-point favorites. You know, we'll see. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are currently 4.5-point favorites against the Rams. The Chicago Bears, currently 9.5-point underdogs against the New Orleans Saints. So some big lines in the NFC for some good games. The Bears have, after a midseason lull of teams, have been playing better of late. So they were able to sneak into the 7 with the Rams win over the Cardinals. Shout out Rams plus 3. As we move to the AFC here, we have 3 wild card games, obviously. So we are going to get into the first one with the 5th seeded Ravens in a rematch with the number 4 seed Tennessee Titans, which will be an outstanding game. I'm very excited for that one. As we move on, the number 6 seeded Cleveland Browns travel to their bitter, bitter division rivals, Pittsburgh Steelers, who hold the number 3 seed. Also, the last matchup of the AFC wildcard weekend is number 7 Indianapolis going to number 2 Buffalo to face the Bills. And, you know, as we kind of look at some of these matchups, I think there's a lot of interesting matchups, a lot of good rematches with the Browns and the Steelers, obviously from the year before, the Ravens and the Titans, the Rams and Seahawks divisional opponents going at it. You know, I think there's a lot of really good games I'm excited to see. We're going to get 3 games on Saturday as well as 3 games on Sunday. They still have yet to decide the times and dates, which I'll kind of get into a little bit with one of the games, which will swing my opinion on one of the games. However, my outright winners that I'm picking here, just outright, we're just going to pick the bracket here. I do think Tampa Bay will defeat the football team. I also do think the Seahawks will defeat the Rams. And I do believe the Saints will beat the Bears. So I do have the top 2 seeds in the wild card round advancing, as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeating the NFC East Division champion Washington football team. So as we move to the AFC now and our outright winners, I do actually like the Tennessee Titans to beat the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. As we saw last year, Tennessee, I think, has a good roster and a good game plan to beat the Ravens. It's all going to come down to Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, which we'll get to a little bit later. As we move on, the Cleveland Browns at the 3rd seed of Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think Pittsburgh wins this game with all their starters coming back. I do think the Browns are going to keep this close, and I do think this is going to be one of the better games of the weekend. However, I do think at the end of the game, Pittsburgh will come out with the W. And also in the last game, the Buffalo Bills versus the Indianapolis Colts. I can't see anyone stopping the Bills right now. I really like the Colts. I like Jonathan Taylor. I like their offense. Their defense is really good. Really good, but Buffalo's just playing at a Super Bowl level right now. I'm hoping that they play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, because that would be an all-time game. However, you know, I think they definitely take care of the Colts next weekend. So this would set up with the first, with the number one seeds hosting the lowest remaining seed, would set up Tampa Bay going to the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks going to the New Orleans Saints. And in the AFC, Kansas City hosting the Tennessee Titans and Buffalo facing Pittsburgh in a rematch. That was just from my pick'ems, the setup. Obviously, we will go into it in more depth after next weekend when we have the official matchups. But those are just, that's just kind of how I see it playing out. I do think it's going to be a great weekend of football. I think a lot of good matchups. A lot of good matchups for some of the teams, definitely some of the home teams. But that is going to bring us into everybody's favorite segment, Get Hype, Kona's Underdog of the Week. Yes, sir. So last week, 2-0. Yep, no doubt. New York Giants, +1.5, cash. Washington football team, we got them at +1.5, cash. Easy W's. So Kona's Underdog of the Week in the regular season, 8-4 on the year. Just a great, great season for Kona. You know, she came into the season a little late, you know, with our show, but absolutely dominated, was taking the first half of the year just to study up on the teams, study up on their against the spread records, and, you know, just came out absolutely hungry for some treats in the form of some winners. So, as we kind of moved to our playoff special, I wasn't really sure if I was going to, you know, pull Kona for some more picks for the playoffs, but you know, she came to me and was like, I got some likes, I got some loves. So let's just kind of get into some of the lines and see what we like. So I think some likes. So we're going to start with our likes here. I do agree with her. I like the Rams +4.5 at Seattle. I think they match up really, really well with the Seahawks. Aaron Donald just absolutely frustrates Seattle's offensive line. I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. I think Seattle's defense is playing a lot better. So this is why it's just a like and not a love, because I do think that, you know, depending on if Jared Goff is back, this bet might move into the love category, but it all depends on Jared Goff's thumb and if he can throw the football effectively, because if he plays, they do match up really well, and 4.5 is just way too many points. You know, I think they still might lose. Obviously, I picked the Seahawks to win outright. But I do think the Rams match up really well. Jalen Ramsey plays DK Metcalf harder than anyone in the league. They got two games of film on Seattle, so I do like that a lot. If Jared Goff is active, I will move this bet to the love category. But just to start, if we have the accountant in at quarterback, it's going to stay a love. Or, excuse me, a like. And then our next like that we have for the weekend, give me the football team +8.5 against the Bucs. You know, I get it, the Bucs have weapons, but, you know, Mike Evans' knee injury, who knows if he's going to play this week. They got to go to the football team and to D.C. I don't know, Alex Smith doesn't look great. The football team looked poor last night, but I do think the defenses are going to show out in the game. Chase Young might have a coming out party against Tom Brady. It's not the most mobile quarterback in his own right, so if the football team can generate some pressure, I do think they're going to stay in this game. However, I did mention that Tampa Bay would win this game in my outright picks. However, 8.5 points is way too much. They could be down 14 in this game and score a late touchdown with the backdoor cover, but I do think it'll be much closer than that. I will take Tampa Bay to win, but give me the football team to cover. So the most interesting piece of news that we must keep our eyes on this week is whether the New Orleans Saints are going to be playing Saturday or Sunday. And this is a big distinction because Alvin Kamara tested positive for COVID-19. He has been asymptomatic and has been since quarantined away from the team. However, the way that the testing process works and the way that the NFL set up their procedures for COVID-19 response, if their game is on Saturday, Alvin Kamara will not be eligible to play in that game. If the game is on Sunday, Alvin Kamara will be eligible to play in that game. So one of the best players in the NFL, it all comes down to a scheduling thing. Now, granted, I do think the NFL understands this, and I do think without you know, seeing any of the scheduling. The scheduling may be out already by the time you're listening to this. But while I'm recording, I don't know what the schedule is. I do think they're just going to put the Saints on Sunday. Just, you know, they want their best players playing on national TV games. But if Alvin Kamara misses, give me the Bears plus 9.5. I do think the number will move a little. I do think Alvin's worth a few points to the spread. However, give me the Bears. You know, they've been playing really well. They did, you know, I think they were right there with the Packers. The final score might not indicate it, but they were getting down to the red zone. They were driving the ball well. And, you know, I think 9.5 is way too much points. No Superdome crowd, first of all. There may be like a little bit of people, maybe like 5% of people in there, maybe. So I'm not worried about the Superdome crowd. You know, give me a good defense. Give me a solid ball control offense and 9.5 points. I'll take it all day, twice on Sunday. Actually, though, I hope they play on Saturday if I want the 9.5. So we'll see, but that is a big distinction to keep an eye on. If the game is played on Saturday, the Bears 9.5 does move into the love section. However, if Kamara plays and it's on Sunday, it will remain in the like section. Okay, now time to talk about my love of the weekend. I kind of talked about this in the outright winner picks. Give me the Titans plus 3.5 against Baltimore. I might even sprinkle a little money line in there this weekend. You know, 3.5 points, way too many. They beat Baltimore last year in the playoffs. I get Baltimore's been hot of late, but Tennessee's the home team. You know, they won their division. They're playing just as good. Derrick Henry over 2,000 yards on the season. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, both elite wide receivers physically. Before everyone gets on me, physically, A.J. Brown is, I think, an elite wide receiver in this league. Corey Davis has shown that he's starting to live up to his pedigree a little more. And Tannehill's playing great. It's all just going to come down to Tennessee's defense and if they can continue to frustrate Lamar Jackson. And like I was saying, this game is going to come down to Lamar Jackson and seeing if he can slay his playoff demons. Because over the last 2 years, two appearances, two losses for Lamar Jackson. So if he loses this game, it's really going to raise some questions just about the Baltimore, not about Lamar Jackson in general, but the Baltimore scheme and if it's set up for success in the playoffs. So we'll see. I think Mike Vrabel's a very good coach, and I just love Tennessee here getting more than a field goal at home. I'll take them outright. And like I kind of mentioned with the Bears plus 9.5, if it's on Saturday, and the Rams, if Jared Goff plays, those two could move into the love section. So I'm only going to play for Kona this week, the loves. Check back on our Twitter account. You can find that in the description below for Kona's official plays. But as of now, we are going to only play Tennessee plus 3.5 against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, everyone, that will wrap it up. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. If you want to follow us on social media, like I just said, check the description below for the show's account and our betting picks, as well as my personal account. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.